This is Monty in the Morning, the show Phoenix Magazine readers voted number one talk radio show in Arizona.
Number one during your morning commute.
Number one whenever news breaks during your day.
And number one whenever and wherever you want to talk sports.
Now it's time for Monty in the Morning.
Happy Thursday, April 2nd. The Monty Show with you. A lot to get to today, and interestingly enough, one of the big conversations is I had three people warning me on Twitter yesterday that the deep state was coming for that ass. So we'll talk about that in a bit. But we also have to talk about the scheme with Sean Miller and the best way to end the NBA season, which is probably where we should start. Because there's been all this talk about the NBA ending their season in one city where all the teams will go, and most people think it's going to be Las Vegas. All the teams will go to Las Vegas, play for a month, and have like an end-of-season tournament. And I'm curious what that looks like and how that plays out and whether or not that's a viable alternative.
Yeah, I think that's definitely unprecedented. I don't think we've ever seen anything like that out of the league. I'd be a little surprised if they went college basketball style on it and just
well,
like.
But this whole thing is unprecedented.
Yeah,
because we haven't seen. When have we ever seen a season canceled like this?
Yeah, I don't know what the best thing to do is. I understand the practicality of this idea, but I don't love it. Like, you know, a lot of the things you're missing with this idea are, you know, home court advantage and, like, you know, teams playing in their own cities and, like, that whole dynamic. So I understand, like, there's, you know, coronavirus has really limited the league and sports in general. So I guess if this is what they feel is best or what they think is the best thing to do, then I guess that's fine. But I don't like it.
I don't see how it's an unlevel playing field. I think, in fact, it is a very level playing field.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when you don't have the ability to finish your season and figure out who's seated where and who's the best of what. And I think this really is the only way to accomplish figuring it out. Cause it's not like you're going to play a month at the end of the season. Like how else would you do it if you were the NBA?
I don't know. I don't know what another alternative would be. I guess my question just would be then, do you just play in this tournament for the postseason? Do you just play the teams that right now as the rankings, as the standings currently are constituted, like you just go with those teams right now? Or do you have like, is there any chance for these other teams who are like a team like the Grizzlies, let's say, or those fringe teams that have been battling with, you know, those four or five that are right on the bubble, do those teams play each other to get in? Or do you just play with those playoff teams?
Well, in my mind, the perfect scenario for this is that teams will go to let's say Las Vegas. One, it helps the economy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Vegas desperately needs people back in their casinos. I think Las Vegas desperately needs people playing poker, people playing slots. Like, Vegas needs it. So, one, I think it's a really smart move by the NBA if they do that, because I think it will inject energy into the economy.
Yeah.
I mean, hell, we found out today that 6.6 million people applied for unemployment.
Yeah.
So if we can get people back to work sooner than later, and if sports can be a bridge to do that, I'm all for it, right? So I think it's smart in that light. And I also think for TV money and for fan interest, it makes a hell of a lot of sense. I think when you look at how they would actually execute it, I don't know what their plan is. But my guess is that it's something along the order of, you know, a tournament. You would play a couple, I would think you would have to play a couple of weeks of regular season.
Yeah.
Before you had any kind of tournament style thing. And then you would go into a postseason mode. But I don't know how you do it, but I have a feeling the NBA is very smart about this stuff.
Yeah.
And I think any kind of tournament or any kind of tournament style play to win an NBA championship would be really smart, because you have to admit fan interest would be at an all-time high.
For sure. Yeah, 100%. And I completely agree with you. It would be great for the economy. It would bring people back. And so I guess the only question we have left is, you know, outside of how they'd set this thing up, is when this could actually happen, because I don't see it happening anytime soon.
I think it's like July. I think it's middle to end of summer.
Yeah.
Is when you would see something like this take place. And Because I think that's the earliest you're going to see sports back in full bloom. I don't see, like, a lot of people are pointing to, like, you know, Memorial Day or, I mean, we're at April 2nd here. Mm-hmm. I don't see any way that in 6-8 weeks that all of a sudden this country is going to recover and you're just going to be able to turn the car back on.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I could be wrong.
That'd be a pretty quick turnaround.
Yeah, I could be wrong, but I don't see baseball, regular baseball being played until middle of June. I don't see the NBA coming back until July. Things like the Masters, things like, you know, the Open Championship this year was canceled. We found out yesterday. But if you think about the sports that have been really impacted, it's Major League Baseball and the NBA.
Yeah.
The NCAA tournament just is not going to happen this year.
Yeah.
There won't be a tournament. So I think it, look, I think the world needs the NBA playoffs. I think it, as a fan base of anything, we need NASCAR. We need Formula One. We need to get back to the tie that binds.
Yes.
And I think sports has always been the tie that binds us together.
Yep.
And if the NBA, I think the NBA has a real chance to recover nicely. You know, you already have a TV contract in place, so it's not like you're going to have all kinds of influx of TV money. But I could absolutely see an online streaming thing, because if you play a tournament style, could you not see a CBS, you know, NCAA tournament style TV day?
Totally.
Where from 9 in the morning until 10 at night, you have games going on in a double elimination NBA playoff thing, or
yeah.
to figure out which 8 teams from each conference are going to go forward. Right? I mean, I could totally see that.
Yeah, and I think this is also an opportunity for the league to, you know, experiment a little bit, maybe, you know, just to see, like, they could tinker with some things as well. Like, you know, again, this tournament style thing that we're talking about here, even just in itself, is an experiment, right? This
yeah.
is never something that the league ever would have done. It's just not how the league is set up. And so, you know, if they were to put this together and this goes well, who's to say that this opportunity to do this wouldn't change the format of the NBA moving forward once things are normalized? You know, I think in sports, generally speaking, you know, change doesn't, it's hard to change major things in sports. It's really slow.
Yeah.
So this could be an opportunity for the league to change, and this could be an opportunity for the fans to see something we've really just never seen.
Well, and I also think you have to consider that coronavirus is a new normal for us, right? As you have a lot of scientists and a lot of doctors saying that this thing is going to be like the flu in that it's going to be around.
Yeah.
And that we could have a major slowdown in the coronavirus. And then in the fall, we could see a significant uptick and we have to do this social distancing thing all over again. And if that's the way it happens, if coronavirus is around that long, I think travel is going to be dramatically impacted, which is another reason why I really like this idea by the NBA, which is have this tournament style thing in Las Vegas, which would reduce travel, right? Because you're not having teams flying all over the country.
Right.
You're not having fans flying all over the country. It's one place, right? And my question is, when it comes to big events like this, will we get to a point where we see venues with, you know, thermometers, you know, like those digital thermometer guns,
yeah.
where they're taking people's temperatures.
Yeah.
Will we have some kind of test put in place where it's a mobile test that will, within 10 seconds, tell you if you've got the coronavirus?
I mean, that would be great, but I don't know if that ever gets created. Who's really to say? I mean,
but we're going to have to figure that out.
Yeah.
I mean, if we're climbing towards 100,000 Americans dying from coronavirus, I have trouble thinking that, you know, Jim and Sally are going to be willing to go to Las Vegas, eat at a buffet, play some craps, and, you know, go to a show.
Bro, all the opportunities to pick up coronavirus just in those three things.
Well, but, and that's my point.
Yeah.
So it's really scary if we don't have, and I'm not a doctor, obviously, but if we don't have some way to quickly test people that's better than, you know, a temperature scan of your forehead
yeah.
to see whether or not you have a fever.
Yeah.
Okay. That, to me, that doesn't tell you whether you have coronavirus. Does it mean you're contagious? Yeah. You know, most people believe it does. Okay. Well, you can't come into the arena. Right. So, I guess that works, but you can't tell me that in a world where we have the most brilliant medical minds And when Abbott Labs is able to kick out a test for coronavirus that turns around a sample in a matter of hours now, very quickly, that we can't come up with a test. And I'm not saying, I don't know, can we do like a finger poke that's an instant blood test? And I mean,
that would be nice. That would be nice. You know, the quicker the better. You know, the quicker we can say, hey, do you have it? Okay, here's a test. All right, no, you don't. Yes, you do. And take action.
But that's how we get back to living normal.
Yeah.
If you were able to think about all the applications for that, a sporting event,
yeah,
a grocery store, an airplane, a cruise ship. Think about all these poor son of bitches stuck on these cruise ships.
Yeah, dude.
Right? Like this one.
They're forgotten at this point.
Yeah, this cruise ship that nobody will let dock. Like, think about that. Hey, well, if we could prick your finger or if we could touch your skin and, okay, nope, no coronavirus. All right.
See you later.
Oh, you have coronavirus? Get your ass back on that ship. Right? Like, if we were able to do that, that would be ideal.
And I also think if we were able to do that, now you could start, creating rules, regulations. Hey, if you're caught out, if we can prove that you knew you had corona, like, and you still went out, like, okay, now you can be held legally responsible. So I think it opens this whole world of like ways that you can approach this. But I think for sports fans, like, we need it. It's got to happen because once we have it, then, you know, we would be able to get back to it. But inevitably, there's still going to be the idiot who goes out, knows he's got corona, and still, you know, goes to the arena.
Well, and I think the important thing here is sports is cathartic. Sports is healing. Sports is bonding. Sports is that thing that will make you forget about your divorce or your debt or your job or your coronavirus.
Mm-hmm.
It's that thing where you can watch, you know, a soccer team or your favorite basketball team or whatever sport it might be, and you can just kind of forget about it. And I think that's what we need. We need some normalcy.
Yeah.
You know, and we're going to talk a lot more about coronavirus and the deep state coming up here in a minute. But my point is, I did something yesterday night that I've never done before. I ordered groceries for pickup because I don't want to go into the grocery store anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Life is changing. Whether we want it to or not, if we embrace that change, we're all going to be way, way better off for it.
So is it just the fear of going to the store, right? That's simply what it is. That's why you ordered online?
Yeah, I don't want to go into the grocery store.
Yeah.
It is, you know, the last time I was at the store last weekend, I've only been going once a week,
mm-hmm,
which is kind of the norm for us. We were never the people that went to the store every day. We pretty much went once or twice a week, and my wife and I actually planned it out. Like, we had gotten into a routine where every Saturday morning we were going to Costco, right? Every Saturday or Sunday, depending on what the weekend held for us. So we were going to Costco once a week, and we would go from Costco to Fry's, and we would, you know, load up the car. We would do all our shopping, and that would be it for the week.
Yeah.
And now we haven't really been, like, I haven't been out of the house this week. I mean, the last time I was out of the house, I guess, was Saturday when I went to Costco.
Yeah.
But I haven't been out of the house this week. And it just, the last time I was at the store, I think, was Saturday. And what worried me was I was looking at avocados right inside the front door of Fry's Marketplace.
Right.
There was a stand that had avocados on it. And a lady, like, down the aisle was coughing. And I was like, fuck this. I'm not doing this. I'm not doing it. Right? And I wasn't in a panic, but I was, like, going quickly through the store.
How far away was she when you saw her?
I didn't even see her. I heard her.
Okay, and so it was just the audio of that.
She was down, like, at the Fry's. When you walk in the door at the Fry's, like, the produce section's on your left. The bread aisle's right in front of you. And then I think it's like pasta is this first aisle. She was all the way at the end of that aisle. And I kind of looked.
Damn, and you could hear her from there.
Yeah.
She was coughing.
She was coughing for a minute. And you know what? Honestly, I felt like she was, you know how you choke on yourself sometimes?
Yes.
I thought that's what it was. But it scared me.
Mm-hmm.
It put enough into me where I was like, I'm not doing this.
Yeah, and I don't blame you. That's why I was curious. You're not usually one to get kind of, you know, skittish or like worry
as
much.
Coronavirus is in my head. There's no doubt about it.
And it should be. And it's in my head too. Like, I'm not necessarily scared, but I am definitely mindful. And I am definitely saying I don't want to get it.
Yeah. And my wife has asthma, so it worries me.
Yeah.
Right. Like, she went out, she went to the grocery store the other morning, Monday morning.
Yeah.
And I was like, dude, why are we doing this? Why, like, the problem is now so many people are ordering pickup from Fry's. That Fry's grocery store, that now, like, I can't even pick up my order until Sunday night at 5 o'clock. That's the soonest delivery window they had,
mm-hmm.
where you can pull up. I don't know how many people know this or not, but like Fry's Marketplace, Fry's grocery store, Kroger is the parent company of Fry's. You can go online, you can order all your groceries, and you just pull into a parking spot, and they'll actually bring out all your groceries and put them in your car for you.
Yeah.
You pay ahead of time. Like, I already paid for my groceries. So when I pull up Sunday at 5 o'clock, they're just going to load my groceries into my car. I don't have to talk to them. I don't have to touch them, nothing. And they'll put them in the back of my, like, I'll probably take my Tacoma. They'll put them in the back of the Tacoma, and we'll bring them home.
Yeah.
And, you know, the other, anyway, it's probably too much minutia.
No, but
the point
it,
is,
yeah.
We need some kind of system. If we're going to get back to normalcy in this country, we need a way to quickly test people.
Yeah, we got to put the reins around this thing. I think it's, you know, social distancing is great. And, you know, obviously we've had the conversation a million times, and it seems like it's on the news every day that people aren't good enough at social distancing yet. And they're not either. They're not good enough, or they're not taking
it
seriously enough. Yeah. And so, you know, there's that side. But then, yeah, there's this testing side. And so I think if, you know, if the majority of the country can get the social distancing piece, you know, in control and doing it the right way, and we can have the test, we're going to be in much better shape. But we don't have really either of those. Yeah, some of us are really serious about social distancing. Others think it's a joke. Others don't think we have to do it. And so that's why I say coronavirus will live on until things kind of get locked down. I mean, that's just what it is.
Yeah, I'm curious, as I'm chatting with a bunch of people on Twitter right now, I'm curious, like, a lot of people are saying that they don't, they're not going into any big box store.
Yeah.
Like, they're not, like.
Well, it's concerning. You don't know. I mean, there's thousands and thousands of people that go into this store. Normally, that wouldn't be an issue. But with this going on, again, all it takes is one, you know? And so if you think about it, every time you go to the store, you just raise your odds by a couple thousand people probably in that store.
Yeah.
And so that's the biggest thing. And then I think about, even with the delivery, you still have chances to get it. I mean, you can't get away from this thing. If you leave the house, you have a chance to get it. And I'm not saying that's a great chance. I'm not saying that you have an amazing chance to get corona. But either way, you just have to consider you only leave the house for the absolute, like, necessity.
The absolute necessity is right. You know, it's funny. Terry said, I've never ordered so much pizza in my life. and then... Barry is saying that what he's doing is ordering takeout. I'm trying to support local economies. Went to Wingstop the other night. Won't be going back. I actually ordered pickup from Wingstop the other night as well on my way home from Costco.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the funny thing about that was that they don't let you wait in the restaurant.
Yeah.
So you order, like, I phoned in,
mm-hmm.
said, hey, I got chicken tenders. Boneless chicken wings or whatever the hell you call them.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I order them. I walk in, I pay. They're like, hey, it'll be about 5 minutes. Can you wait outside?
Yeah.
And you know what the funny thing was? I was like, I said to the guy, oh, do you have any napkins? I don't want to touch the door. And he's like, no, actually, we're out of napkins. And so I used my hip and my foot to open the door. Because it's that much in my head. But
yeah, but it should be. It should be.
Yeah.
Like, I'm with you.
Yeah. And Barry's point was, I felt dirty. I felt like it was dirty. I felt like I was dirty. Couldn't do it.
Yeah. And really, even with takeout, I mean, you still, again, it just takes one of those people. And so it's kind of this question of, okay, well, you know, you got to pick your poison here. Do you want to do pickup from the grocery store? Or do you want to do takeout? I think
I'd rather do pickup from the grocery store.
Yeah, and my inclination is to do pickup from the grocery store because at the end of the day, I know that I can wash all the food. It's kind of still in my control in that sense. Now, if the person who got my groceries has corona and that's how I was meant to get corona, I guess I can live with that. But at the end of the day, you know, I just think that that's probably a better way to do it. But I hear Barry too, supporting the local economy. I'm, you know, that's always a good idea.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It's anyway, put a bow around this. Do you like the idea of a postseason tournament for the NBA where everybody, all the teams and all the fans congregate in Las Vegas and they have an NCAA style tournament for to determine the NBA champion?
Yeah, I like it. I want them to come up with a good plan for how long they're going to play till we start playing those elimination games in the tournament. Like, I agree with you. I think it needs to be...
I think it's a month-long thing.
Yeah, like... I think it has to be at least 2 weeks of just playing games to get everybody back in the groove.
Yep.
And then you start playing the postseason stuff.
Is it like a single elimination three-week tournament with all the teams in the league?
Yeah, I mean...
And that way, if you're the Phoenix Suns...
Yeah.
You're in the postseason tournament. You have a chance to win an NBA title.
I think that would be the best way to do it. Just say, hey, everybody's in. Let's play, you know, and the best teams are going to win. Simple as that.
And if you think about it, there's not 64 teams in the NBA, so it'd be a shortened calendar. You have a model that the NCAA uses, mm-hmm. right? So,
yep.
You know, maybe that is the right way to do it. Kyle on Twitter says, this is stupid. Just play it the regular way. And if you're not able to travel without coronavirus, maybe you shouldn't be there.
Yeah, I think it's a little short-sighted.
I think and this is my point, I think there's more to the NBA season. The importance of getting the NBA back up and running is not so that we can finish the season because we need to have a champion. I think Americans need it. Honest to goodness, I know that probably sounds crazy. They're talking about canceling the college football season. I think Americans need something other than the unemployment numbers, the Dow's off, people are dying, and Donald Trump's a cock.
And
Tiger King.
Yeah.
I think we need more than that. And I don't know how we get there, but I think we need more than that,
yeah.
right? And you know, I'm looking at the way that this thing works, and I don't know, man. If you are the, you know, how many teams are in the NBA? 30, I think?
30. It's 30.
If there's 30 teams in the NBA, I mean, you have a pretty quick turnaround for that.
I like the idea of just throwing them all in a pot and saying and drawing who plays who. Like, I love that idea a ton.
Seed it based on where you were. Right? Just your win-loss record when the season ended.
Mm-hmm.
So the Golden State Warriors would be the last, the bottom seed.
And the Lakers would be the first seed.
And the Lakers would be, didn't Milwaukee have the best record in the NBA?
So,
whatever.
Yeah.
Whoever's got the best record versus whoever's got the worst record. So it'd be Milwaukee and Golden State in round one.
Mm-hmm.
All right, cool. I'm good.
Oh,
with
and
that.
You want to do it West versus East like that. And then
I just want to put them all together.
Okay, yeah.
And I want to have a two-week postseason tournament in Las Vegas, single elimination. I want the NCAA
everybody
tournament.
Everybody plays everybody.
Everybody
yeah, like
plays.
Yeah.
Single elimination
yeah.
tournament.
Yeah, I like it a lot.
Right?
Yeah.
And maybe you have a seven-game series in it for to determine the champion.
Yeah, I think I like that idea a lot. And then I think maybe what you do is you just put matchups together for the games that the breaking games. You know, the
no,
games
you know what? I actually like the winner-take-all format. Give me one game. Just give me one game at the end for the champion. Because what if Kawhi Leonard hits that seven bounces off
the
rim?
In the postseason game?
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah, just one game. Don't play a series at the end. Now that I'm sitting here thinking about it, just play the one game
and
call it a night.
Yeah, and I think, you know, again, this is what I mean. There's tons of opportunities within this tournament to tweak the rules a little bit. Not the actual rules that the officials rule the game by, but what I mean is like, you know, single elimination, double elimination, how you determine...
No double elimination.
You know, like how you determine, who technically is the home and away team. And like, you know, there's all those little minutiae things that you can figure out. Like, you know, so I don't know. I really like it. I like the idea of getting rid of, in this format, getting rid of the East and the West and just simply saying this is the NBA this year. This is what we're doing. This is our setup, and may the best team win. And I think the only question is logistics. When you only have one arena, how are you going to play all of these games? You know, I don't know. That's something they have to figure out. I'm not sure what that looks
like. I think round one is over a couple of days. I think round – because think about it. If it's round one, how many – you know, if you have 30 teams – And it's round one is 15 games.
But here's what I'm thinking about. Before you even get to this tournament, right?
Mm-hmm.
These teams have to play games that are meaningless to get back in the flow of playing the game.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
I think
like,
there's no like, doubt about
so,
that.
That's,
yeah.
that's
it's like
my
Summer
question.
League. Exactly. You would play it like Summer League.
Exactly. So with 30 teams, though, Summer League doesn't have 30 teams. Was it Summer League's
oh,
like
it's got,
10 teams?
It's got a, no, it's got a lot of teams. You could do it. There's no question. You have three major arenas that work there.
Okay, so you have T-Mobile, right?
You have T-Mobile, Thomas and Mack Center,
oh,
and then
Thomas
the attached,
and Mac, yeah.
And the I can't remember what it is. It the smaller arena that's attached to.
Yeah, yeah.
So you have the ability. What don't you like about
that? No, it's not that I don't like it. I'm just sitting here thinking about like okay, you know, we're gonna play. I'm just curious, like what's the run up to the tournament? And then I think once you play the tournament, I agree with you. Totally agree with you. It's single elimination. Winner takes all. We're not playing around with that. We're just going to move through.
Yeah, I think I would just go with the Summer League style round robin.
Yeah.
To get them ready for a tournament style
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Play a couple of weeks of games. Hopefully you get four games in a couple of weeks. And then I think you just play a tournament.
Yeah.
I think you can overthink it.
Mm-hmm.
And my guess is that Adam Silver won't overthink it.
Yeah, he's pretty good about these things.
He is.
Sure.
He really is. Let's talk about the scheme here on the Monty Show. As I choke on myself, I made the mistake of trying to take my vitamins during the show, and I'm like choking on myself. No, I'm not coronavirused up, Barry. Thanks, Dick. Like I'm coughing, and he's like, oh, Monty's got corona. No, I don't. I'm choking on my own saliva. All right, back to regularly
Very
scheduled
attractive.
Program. Hey, let's talk about the scheme on HBO, because this was interesting. We heard never before heard wiretaps of Sean Miller and Christian Dawkins. Sean Miller, the head coach of Arizona basketball, Christian Dawkins, the wannabe agent slash manager guy, and it's very clear by what went down, the federal government. I think framed Christian Dawkins.
Mm-hmm.
And, I know we've said that for over a year now, but I feel like we now know the federal government framed Christian Dawkins. I think we now know that Sean Miller, in my opinion, based on what I heard and what I've seen, I think Sean Miller was paying players.
Well, I don't think there's any doubt. Sean Miller, Will Wade, Patino, all these guys. And this is what we've been saying for, man, it must be, what, a year and a half now, at least? 2 years, probably? This whole thing's been going on. I mean, it's been a long time that we've been saying, hey, these guys are paying players. And that's fine. It's fine. There's no rule against it. Yeah, amateurism, sure. But there's no, like, federal law that says that you can't pay players. And so I want to be clear about this. I'm not saying it's wrong to pay players. Yeah, by NCAA rules, it's wrong. But I think if you're not paying players, you're not going to compete at the highest levels of college basketball. So programs like, I guarantee you, Duke paid for Zion. I guarantee you that all these players are
But that's an opinion. There's no evidence that Duke did anything wrong, although Zion's dad is on the record saying he wants a house and a job.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I think there's some of that. I think specific to Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how. So we had heard Sean Miller didn't know Christian Dawkins, and they had a business relationship. And listening to those wiretaps, it's very clear that Christian Dawkins and Sean Miller were close friends.
Yes,
they talked all the time. They had a comfortable relationship where they were, you know, cursing and laughing and joking, and
yep.
then talking business. And it's very clear that Sean Miller and Christian Dawkins were close.
Yes.
That's why you fire Sean Miller.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't think he's been honest with them about that. That statement where Sean Miller sat down in front of the media, and talked about how he's never done anything wrong and you can drive back to Phoenix. That's why you fire Sean Miller.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, you know why else you fire him? Because they suck. Arizona had this great recruiting class no matter how they got it. And they're not winning. They're not an elite team.
Yeah.
So is Sean Miller really worth all of this when they're not even one of the best teams in the Pac-12 or the best team in the Pac-12 and certainly not the best team in the country
yeah.
with Nico Mannion and an incredible recruiting class.
Mm-hmm.
And what did all the idiots at Arizona say? Well, just give us this season and then you can take the title away after we win. You're not winning a championship, right? Like, so why are you still loyal to Arizona?
Right? Yeah.
right? Like, yeah. I think people believed that, oh, well, we got Nico Mannion. Carrot Top's winning us a national championship. Like, okay, cool. He's not, by the way, just saying. So what are you still loyal to Sean Miller for?
Yeah, don't get it. Don't get it at all. And I think if you haven't seen the scheme, you should definitely watch it.
Oh, it was fantastic.
I think HBO absolutely crushed it. Random fact coming out of that show, I didn't realize when they wiretap people's phones, the way they did it, didn't realize that when Christian Dawkins' phone rang, the FBI's phone rang just like it was Christian Dawkins' phone.
Well,
I don't know. It just didn't go off in my head that, you know, like that's how you do a wiretap. I don't know what I thought. It just, I was like, wow, that's pretty cool. Like, I didn't realize that's how it worked.
Well, it because of cellular technology, it's gotten much easier.
Yeah.
All they're doing, okay, let's play Spy Guy. All they're doing is cloning his phone.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying it's rocket science. I just didn't think like that's how they did it. And there wasn't something in my head about how they did it.
Oh, just I when see what he you're went, saying. Like, the realization of yeah, that that's like, how just it's that, done. Like, I gotcha.
Because on the scheme, Christian Dawkins is talking about it. And, you know, he's sitting in this hotel room and he's got his phone on like an ottoman kind of thing.
No, no. What happened is the FBI confronts Christian Dawkins at the W Hotel in Times Square.
Mm-hmm.
And they're sitting here laying out that you're pretty well screwed. You're going to work with us or you're going to federal prison. And all of a sudden, his phone rings. He just gets a normal phone call. You know, like you're sitting around anywhere, your phone rings. His phone rings, and at the exact same time, the FBI agent's phone rings.
And who was calling?
And on the phone of the FBI agent, it said Christian Dawkins. And so it hit him, oh, wow, I'm in real trouble here.
And the best part of that whole thing was Sean Miller was calling.
Yeah, it was Sean Miller. Yeah, Sean Miller was the one who called his phone when he was being confronted by the FBI.
Yeah.
Almost in a beautiful twist of karma.
Yeah.
Right? So I just, at this point, hey, look, did Sean Miller cheat? I have no idea. We don't know, you know, the facts of what actually happened because the judge won't allow the wiretaps to come out.
And that's kind of the biggest wrinkle in the whole thing. I mean, the FBI had all these coaches dead to rights. I mean, just absolutely on a tee.
How is Will Wade not winning more games at LSU?
Don't know.
I don't understand it.
Don't know.
I don't. By the way, the other thing that came out of the scheme, everybody needs a mother like Christian Dawkins' mother.
Seriously.
So Christian Dawkins tells a story. So after that hotel room thing, the FBI arrests Christian Dawkins. They take him to jail. They arraign him. They don't let him call anybody, right? So he finally gets a phone call after the arraignment, and he calls his mom. And he's crying on the phone. And his mom essentially says, did you kill anybody? Did you rape anybody? Did you physically harm anybody? Did you steal from somebody? And he's like, no to all those questions. And she's like, then buck up. Stop crying and be a man and come on home. And I was like, damn.
He just got off the joint.
Right. Like, damn, dude. That's how I would want... Listen, if I called my mom, and my mom and I don't have a relationship, frankly, I don't even want to get into it, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, I would want my mom to say, buck up and stop crying.
Yeah, bro.
And if I had, you know, if I was like, no, I didn't kill anybody. No, I didn't harm anybody. No, I didn't rape anybody. And she's all right, cool. Stop crying. Be a man and get your ass home. I'd be like, all right, thanks.
See you soon.
Right? The other part about the scheme I think is so interesting is that Christian Dawkins, while he's on trial for bribery, in federal court, got a record label from Atlantic Records. They did a deal with Christian Dawkins. They gave him a record label and a payday, and now he's a record producer for Atlantic Records.
Crushing it.
I mean, the guy, say what you want about Christian Dawkins. I actually don't have that much trouble with what he did.
Me either.
Frankly, I don't even know that Christian Dawkins committed a crime.
And I agree with you. I think they framed him for sure. Like they put him in a box did everything that they could do.
If that's not entrapment, what is entrapment?
Yeah, agreed.
Right? Like, how is that not entrapment? But I don't even have that much problem with what he did at all. Did he steal from the you know, his investor? Yeah, probably.
The best part about that whole thing is that they gave him all this money
And he kept it.
He kept it in his house. So when he went through all this.
And so wait. The FBI is, it's for those of you who don't know, the FBI, here's what the FBI did, right? The FBI goes to Christian Dawkins and they say to him, hey, and they pose undercover as an investor. Hey, we want to give you all this money and we want you to buy NCAA coaches, right? Christian Dawkins says, no, I don't. That's not the right way to get players to, for us to represent players. We don't need to coaches. We need to players. And the FBI undercover agent's like, no, we need you to buy the coaches. We need you to pay them off.
It's our money. You'll do it.
And they go back and forth arguing about it. And Dawkins finally says to them, okay, great. I'll do it. But what he actually did was him and a guy named Merle Code, who worked for Adidas, they agreed, yeah, we're not paying coaches because that's not going to help us get players. So we're just going to keep the money. And so the FBI was giving him tens of thousands of dollars to bribe coaches with, and he didn't bribe any coaches. There's video, FBI video of Christian Dawkins. So they rent this incredible suite, the FBI does, to run this sting where at the coaches convention in Las Vegas. And Christian Dawkins is bringing these coaches into the suite. He's told them ahead of time, hey, I'm taking care of this. Don't touch the money, right? I'll take care of it. So the FBI doesn't know he did that. So he brings like Tony Bland from USC, sits down on this couch, and there's a camera behind the FBI agent. And the FBI agent puts an envelope full of cash on the table, hoping that Tony Bland will reach and pick it up. Nah, Christian Dawkins, every single time, they put the money on the table, the meeting breaks up, and Christian Dawkins picks up the envelope full of cash, puts it in his pocket. Never paid the coaches, just simply went to his friends who were coaches, because he knew them all since childhood, and said, hey, I need you to meet with my investor so he thinks we're doing this the way he wants to do it. Can you do that? And they're all like, yeah, sure, no problem.
That's a big deal.
Oh, you're going to bring me to the nicest hotel suite in Vegas, and you're going to feed me and give me liquor? Let's go. So he's taking all that money, right? Long story short, they sting him, they arrest him, and in the documentary, they say, well, how did you live? And fucking Christian Dawkins is like, well, all that money they were giving me to pay off the coaches, I had it in my house. Well, how much money was it? Like $60,000, $70,000 in cash just in my house. And he literally says, well, thank God I had that money to live on and pay my lawyers.
Yeah, because they froze all his accounts.
Yeah, they froze all his assets. So he had this cash in his house. He's like, thank God, so I could pay my, live and pay my lawyers. So wait, let me get this right. The FBI completely botched this thing and got nobody, and they paid Christian Dawkins to pay for his legal defense against your bribery charge, to which he only got 18 months. He hasn't served a day in prison and is appealing. So what exactly did we all pay the FBI to do here?
Yeah.
And this is what I said on Twitter. Hey, man, the FBI used to be good at investigating people. Because apparently they're not very good at that anymore.
Well, I just don't know why they're so obsessive on Christian Dawkins.
Because he would not cooperate.
Well, I understand that, but from the get-go, they didn't know he wasn't going to cooperate from the get-go. When you were thinking about this whole thing, right? Did you say to yourself, okay, yeah, we're definitely gonna leverage Christian Dawkins because we know he's the glue guy. He's putting this whole thing together. But he's not necessarily the one, like, you know, actually, like,
breaking
rules.
I don't know who they wanted.
Exactly. So my question is, did they say to themselves when they rolled this thing out, are we going out, we're going to go after coaches, or we're just going to frame Christian
Dawkins? They wanted the system. They wanted to go after the system.
But what does that really mean for them, you know?
I don't know what it means. They wanted to entrap, they entrapped Christian Dawkins, and I don't know how any jury didn't see that.
But I think back to the trial, right? The several trials where guys like Sean Miller, in my opinion, should have testified because, frankly, they were involved.
And the judges, the court ruled, the government, from the very onset, said the coaches are victims. The university are victims here.
Which is crazy
to me. And it's like, are you high? Like, what tape are you listening to? Anyway, here nor there. Sean Miller should be fired. And the FBI should learn to investigate people.
Totally.
And
agree.
I don't think Christian Dawkins did anything wrong.
Totally agree.
I that's just the way I do it. All right. Is it time? Is it time that we talk about it?
Yes.
Let's address the situation.
Infowars.com is tomorrow's news today.
All right, let's get into this. So there were a lot of people on Twitter asking me if I believe that the deep state was real.
Infowars.com.
And and the answer is, I don't think it's real. Okay, and I know that that's crazy, but I'm looking at this poll that I did last night, right? I put up a poll, and it basically, the question was, is the deep state real? 63% of 199 votes. Yes, it's real.
Infowars.com.
Okay, so if you don't know what the deep state is, let me tell you. I'm amazed by that number. There is a conspiracy theory out there that the coronavirus is a hoax perpetrated on the world to bring down Donald Trump. Jake, do you believe that?
No, not at all. I don't. I think it's convenient. I think people want to say, well, coronavirus was made because Donald Trump was doing such a good job that Democrats had to talk to China. Like, what? Like, come on, bro. Like, tell me, like, that just sounds so off the wall. But I do think it's funny that people think about this stuff.
Well, there's a lot of people, like, I'm talking to this guy, Chet, right now.
Chet.
And I'm not going to say the other two guys' names because they're two of my favorite people on Twitter. But one of these guys wrote me in a Twitter direct message. There is a lot of talk on the dark web that the power will be turned off. Get ready for it. I hope you've stocked up. I'm not kidding. Please protect your family. Did you guys wind up buying more ammo? If not, I have a couple of 9mm boxes I can lend you.
What the fuck are you, Ranger Rick?
Like, what are you talking about? Like, and I really like this guy. This guy who's he's got a couple of boxes of 9mm that he can lend us. And I'm like, okay, wait. If you lend me 9mm.
Oh, man.
And I shoot it, you're telling me I got to give you two boxes? Okay, no, man. Second of all, who am I going to be shooting? Because the other guy that I like a lot, and again, he's one of my favorite people on Twitter, so I'm not going to say his name.
Don't lie to me.
He said, no, I'm serious. He said, you don't, what did he say here? Hearing a possible power outage in a 10-day window starting today. And finally, an appearance by Julian Assange, who has much to talk about.
Infowars.com.
We shall see. You don't have to believe me. Was just giving you a heads up because it's been clear to me you don't know what's really going on.
Are we clear on that?
Stay safe. White Castle on me on the other side of this. Like, so these people are telling me, I'm not mocking you, sir. Like, one of the guys, I'm not mocking you.
Just take a nice and easy, okay? Just relax.
Yeah, I just don't see. I don't see that there is a deep state that invented the coronavirus. Alex Jones at Infowars.com said the other day on his show that the coronavirus was manufactured and deployed against the Chinese to bring down Donald Trump.
Infowars.com.
He literally said that. And he said it's a four-pronged contagion that works on different systems in the body that was deployed to bring down Donald Trump, and we're not going to let this happen.
Infowars.com.
Like, he said this on his show the other day, and people are running with it. And I'm asking seriously, where's your proof of this? And the major proof that people are using is there, and I can't remember, like five people sent me this hashtag on Twitter, and I appreciate you all looking out. Film my hospital.
Oh,
hashtag,
boy, here we
hashtag
go.
Hashtag film my hospital on Twitter, where people are going to their hospitals and filming that there's no line to get tested and that there's no line to get treated. Do you think a bunch of people with coronavirus are just standing outside the hospital in the cold?
After they were being told to stay home?
My guess is they're not, right? And my guess is that Do you believe the numbers in China? No, but why does that mean there's a conspiracy theory, right? And people are saying, well, because the United States now leads the world in deaths. And that's why the Chinese didn't report it. Infowars.com.
Infowars.com.
And it's like... And it's like people are saying that now America leads the way. They're trying to cripple the stock market. Okay, it's the coronavirus. It doesn't matter how many people died in China. We're pushing, you know, this theory that there could be 100,000 people dead.
People will die.
Right? Like that's Tony Fauci. That's a direct quote from CNN, Tony Fauci, saying people are going to die.
People will die.
Okay, that's not Tony. But anyway, the point is, we're going to lose 100,000, 200,000 people to this. That's why the stock market's in the crapper.
Yeah.
Right? That's why today 6.6 million people this morning filed for unemployment.
Yeah.
I don't know. Am I naive to think that there's no deep state that's trying to take down Donald Trump?
You're not naive. I just think I don't know, man. Like, I don't know where... You know, again, not that I'm asking for their names, but these people on Twitter who are DMing you saying there's going to be a power outage and I hope you got 9 mil and like...
The internet, another guy said the internet's going to be taken away from us so we don't know the truth.
So Google's shutting down? Or
no,
what?
The internet. Connection to the internet. People's connection to the internet's just going to be clipped and it's gone.
So Cox is shutting down?
Apparently. You know, like, because there are cables that feed...
I just think that the things they're saying are just so out there. Like, think about what would have to happen for people to not have internet. Like there would be so many things that would have
it
to happen.
It would have to be, like... I don't think you can say Donald Trump's deployed the military on our streets, deep state. Okay, well, Donald Trump deployed the military. Right? Like, I don't think there's some... I know that the coronavirus has impacted all of our lives, but have you seen like mass hysteria and panic?
No, I think it's been reflected in the market. I definitely think that lack of confidence and that worry and that stress has definitely been reflected in the market. But I don't think there's been like, you know, outcry in the streets and people are killing each other and like that's not what's happening.
There hasn't been like looting and riots.
No, this isn't some third world country, bro.
Right, and mass hysteria. Like none of that's happened. Yeah. So I don't know. Am I making too much of it?
Too much of it in what sense?
Well, when 60% of the people on Twitter believe that there's a fucking deep state and they're on
Infowars.com.
Yeah, that they're on board with Alex Jones and stuff. Like, I mean, that's a lot of percentage.
It's a lot of people. I don't disagree. Yeah,
that believe that there's a deep state that is trying to take Donald Trump down.
I would love to hear somebody explain to me, like, who's in the deep state? Like, who all is the deep state?
Well, Nancy Pelosi runs the deep state, doesn't she?
Is that true?
I have no idea. But my point is, that's what people believe, that the libertarians and the libs and Dems and it's like, do you really think that there's a whole global movement? And this is the part I want people to, and if you're a deep state guy, just help me understand it. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm not mocking you. I'm asking legitimately, if you believe that there's a deep state, if you believe that, if you're on board with that, you believe that the entire world, Italy, Spain, Germany, China, Iran, Iraq, everywhere where there's been coronavirus, you believe that all those people are on board and are working to bring down Donald Trump. You have to believe that if you think there's a deep state.
Yeah.
And your belief is that the deep state released the coronavirus. A, that the deep state engineered the coronavirus and released it to bring down Donald Trump. I just don't believe that. I don't believe it either.
But I mean, clearly a lot of people do. And look, the problem with this whole lack of belief or belief in the deep state thing and like, you know, all this stuff is that what proof do you guys really have? That's what I'm trying to understand. What is the proof outside of you saying you guys connecting A plus B? Like just because X happened doesn't mean that equals Y. You know, that's the thing I'm trying to understand. Where is the actual like hard evidence that this stuff is actually going down, that our internet's going to be taken out, or there's going to be a power outage, or that somehow we need 9 mil, or that I should go buy a freaking AR from C2 Tactical? Like where's the evidence?
I I don't know, man.
But that's what I'm curious about, because this is not going away. The deep state stuff is not going away. It never goes away. It just tends to boil up when we have things like Corona going on, you know? So that's why I'm curious. If you're somebody who believes these things and like really dives into these things, what is it that really gives you that confidence?
I don't, and I'm telling you, it's all over Twitter.
Like, yeah,
if you really want to find it, if you just search deep state on Twitter or film my hospital on Twitter, there are people walking into emergency rooms, like asking, where are all the sick people? And it's like, really? Is that what we're doing?
I would not want to work in a hospital.
Right. Do you think that this, like, there are people, I don't happen to believe that the coronavirus is a hoax. I don't happen to believe.
I have some questions around why it was started, why it was created.
I do too.
Yeah.
I don't know that I buy that it was a bat-born disease, you know, like, but then again, I don't understand the science of it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And like these idiots, did you hear about this Tony Fauci thing
where
he's got bodyguards now? He's got federal protection because Dr. Anthony Fauci is getting death threats now because he's speaking, in contradictive terms to the president and talking about how more people are going to die.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, what do you want? Do you want him to lie?
What is he supposed to do?
Do you want him to be dishonest?
If he's dishonest, then you're going to say that and you should say be fired for that. But if he's honest now, all of a sudden you're threatening him. Like that's weird to me.
I don't know. Stever on Twitter, the Stever, thank you for
your
service.
Please bring
appreciate
some
it.
Balance to the conversation.
The
please.
Stever says there's no doubt people in China are dying. I've been there. I've seen it. But I'm telling you, it's not as many as they say. And there's a lot of people in my circles, military circles. There's a lot of people in military circles who do believe the Chinese released it on their own people, and it just got out of hand. Again, Stever works in special forces, by the way.
Like that, I could understand.
Okay, so that's a popular theory about how the coronavirus started. Was that it started because there is a and I don't know what you call it, but there is a laboratory in Wuhan, China, that they use to engineer things like infectious diseases, chemical and genetic weaponry. And they say, you know, like these bioweapons, coronavirus, some people believe was a bioweapon that they wanted to test on the people to see what would happen. And it got out of hand. They didn't realize that it had a potency and the ability to be spread person to person so quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a belief that that's where it started. Now, the Chinese people will tell you the U.S. military deployed coronavirus against the Chinese.
Please.
Right. So it just goes on and on. Real Fat Jesus says the deep state forced me to cheat on my wife and Macaulay Culkin leads the deep state.
Infowars.com.
Okay, cool, man. You know.
See, you can always rely on Real Fat Jesus.
I mean, Real Fat Jesus would never cheat on his wife. It was the deep state forced him to. By the way, I think, and I'm a God-fearing man, I think it's funny that people are like, well, Jesus isn't coming back because the coronavirus. So Easter's going to be delayed. He is not. Like, I think there was a hat. I could be wrong. He is not risen is a popular joke because obviously you're not going to celebrate the birth of Christ during the coronavirus. Or the return of Jesus to the earth as you know, during the coronavirus.
Right. Yeah.
So that's, you know, it's out there. I actually think it's funny.
Bro, people need to relax.
Yeah. Chet's really fired up. Chet is angry.
Chet.
Chet's his point is that you're naive, Monty. You're the same idiot who voted for Obama twice and you're gonna be pissed that Obamacare is dead. Wake up, pull your head out of your ass. The deep state is real and I can prove it. Okay
prove it. Let's
prove
see it.
It. What does that mean,
Chet? Let me see it, bro.
What does that mean?
Let me see it.
Right?
I want to see it.
And again, here's the thing I don't understand. People are messaging me on Instagram. You're watching the show. Fucking do it on Periscope. Why are you messaging me on Instagram? I don't understand it. E-Dog on Instagram. Says, I appreciate you speaking your truth, but it's fact that earthquakes in Utah are not normal. What do you say about that?
I say that there's a fault line and earthquakes come and go.
Okay, so this is another conspiracy theory.
Dude, you got to be kidding. You got to be kidding me right now that we're trying to make conspiracy theories out the fact that Utah had some earthquakes.
Okay, so there were people saying, so Utah had, you know, has had a string of earthquakes and millions of aftershocks.
Yeah.
There were people saying that there was, it's inevitable we're going to have a 9.0 earthquake within a matter of minutes. And it's like, first of all, do you know we can't predict earthquakes, right? You get that? We can't predict earthquakes. So saying we're going to have a 9.0 earthquake in a matter of minutes, that's some Infowars.com stuff.
Infowars.com.
Right? Like, it is, totally. So then yesterday there was a 6.5 in Idaho. And what I say is, hey, plate tectonics in the mountains don't lie, dude. How do you think the freaking Rocky Mountains got there?
This is what
I
mean.
How do you think the Wasatch Front came to be, man? Look over to Denver. How do you think the Rockies got there?
Just because Salt Lake City and Denver and all those areas haven't had a lot of like plate movement, you know, in however long, doesn't mean that it's not possible. What it means is, yes, there are major fault lines there. That's how mountains are created. Do we not realize this? Mountains are created when tectonic plates rub up against each other, and that's what causes earthquakes. It taught that in elementary school, bro. That's one of the first things they teach you in geography class, okay? So at the end of the day, right, this is not some conspiracy thing. I would love. What's the argument? What is the argument that this is some kind of InfoWars conspiracy thing?
He didn't really say. But by the way, Eric and Raleigh, our good friend, has been in the hospital recently, and he says, my personal experience from 5 ER trips in 14 days is this is not a hoax. I heard the coughs, Monty. I have no words. Yeah, I agree with him. I don't think it's a hoax. I don't know how you explain the conspiracy theory that is earthquakes, right? Like, I don't know how you would explain that. I'm not sure that I understand it at all.
My point is,
like, is that like the deep state shaking the world? Is that what this is? Like,
yeah, like,
what
again,
does that mean?
I would love to see Chet provide some of his evidence. Yeah. What is the proof?
The Stever says biological weapons and genetic testing is something that normally goes on in communist countries. We just don't hear about it because they control the media.
Okay, I'm fine with that. If you
stop
right there,
I'm on board
yeah, that's
with
fine.
That.
I get that.
Right? And Stever's not saying these things are facts.
Yeah.
If his messages didn't disappear on Twitter, I could reread them to you. But he essentially is saying, hey, this is what I hear happened in China,
yeah,
right?
Right.
So I'm down with that.
Yeah.
But Stever also points out, please tell people who say the military is deployed on our streets, that's not the case. The Guard is very different than the military. Yeah, it's not like the Army is on the streets, right? The National Guard and reservists are very different than the Army or the Marines.
Mm-hmm.
They're very, very different.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I'm just saying, I don't buy it. I just don't buy it. I really don't. So did you see that thing on Fox News last night, by the way?
I feel like I heard about it, but what was it?
They invited a scientist on. Somebody got fired for this. They invited a scientist on who I think they thought was friendly to Donald Trump. The lady on Fox News, who I don't know who she was, she asked him one question about the groundbreaking test that Abbott Labs has released. And the guy goes on to say, well, yeah, this is a good test, but it doesn't do us any good because it's a single test. We can't test in bulk, and that's really what we need. So our needs are not being met. And he goes on to talk about how this test is just, it's a good test, but it doesn't help anything. And she's like, all right, great. Thanks for coming on. Hope to see you again. Next on Fox News.
Yeah, here we go.
Do you have it?
Here we go.
Scale testing. Now, what we hear every night is that there are millions of tests available. And yet we don't have that pinprick blood test that you can just sort of get, you know, at your local doctor and know in 15 minutes. But they're working on it.
Yeah, they're working on it. They should have been working on it for months. So the fact is, we knew about this from the WHO when? December 31st, 2019. So last year, we knew about this. We knew coronavirus is coming. We knew it was a respiratory disease. We knew it was person-to-person. Why is it that it's this week that the FDA finally approved these kind of new Abbott lab testing, which, by the way, is one test at a time? It's a great test, but it's one test at a time. It's different than the labs that are doing mass testing, right? So this is a wonderful test, don't get me wrong, but it's one test per 15 minutes. That's wonderful, but it's not the same volume that you really need. This is better for kind of outpatient clinics and things like that. We needed this months ago.
Yep.
You look at Korea. Korea, South Korea, and the U.S. had their first official confirmed case on the same date.
Here's where it goes off the
January 19th. Mm. That means since January 19th, you look at what South Korea did and what we did. Their population is 1/6 of ours. Look at the cases they have. Look at the mortality they have. It's a trifle compared to what we're dealing with right now. Because we've had a very weak response, and they had a really strong response.
Uh-oh! Goodbye, sir.
Doctor, thank you. Very
interesting
to talk to
you, Dr.
Desai. Yeah.
One question. He out of here. Yeah. I can just imagine the director's like, cut him. Cut him. Let him go. Cut him. And then whoever booked that guest got fired, like, in the break. Like, how does that get on Fox News? How did that guy get on Fox News ripping the president?
Doesn't make you feel responsible.
Yeah, well, the producer probably got fired for that.
Is this the dagger?
My God.
Dude,
my
I don't know who interviewed that guy or who kind of screened that guy, but he lit them up. Yeah. And that's one of the best things I've seen in a long time.
Yeah, so anyway. Hey, by the way, one quick thing. I don't remember who it was. Barry said, how are you guys doing at Yelp? Are you still working? Yes.
Oh, yes.
We're working full time. Yelp has been great about that. They have not, I'm working as many hours as I've ever worked at Yelp. And the funny thing is small businesses are marketing. I mean, they're spending money. And it's pretty remarkable to watch the way that there's a very clear delineation. Those who want to be aggressive and fight through this and keep making money, and those who are paralyzed.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny the way I talk to probably 50, 60 small business owners a day, or interact with people who work in their businesses every day. And it's amazing how philosophically speaking, rather, it's a very different thing from owner to owner.
100%. Yeah. Right? There's a lot of people who say, hey, like, I understand that this is going on and there's challenges with this, and if I do nothing, that this is going to cripple my business. So I'm going to do something about it. Let's do something. And then there's other people who say, no, just close the door. It's going to wait till this thing blows over, and we'll just see what happens. Call me when this whole thing's done. And it's like, okay, man, but you understand that, you know, you could be open and you could be making money. We have the people, like, you know, let's send those people to you, because they want, like there's no question. Whether you use Yelp or you Google or whatever, like, if you go on Google and you are looking for a plumber, you're going to find Yelp, you know, like, so
yeah.
Yelp drives people to local businesses, and that philosophy difference is fascinating to me.
By the way, Real Fat Jesus makes a great point. He says, you're not really working at Yelp. That's only what the deep state wants you to believe.
Infowars.com.
Yeah. Thank you for that point of clarity. It is amazing. You're either proactive or you are frozen.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty crazy to talk, you know, business theory and practice and strategy with people every day. And you know, a smart business owner as soon as you talk to them.
Right off the jump.
Like, you know right away. So anyway, how long do you think this goes on, by the way? You think this is so... I know we talked about this a few minutes, but are you a May June guy, or do you think you think this is the rest of the year?
I don't think it's May. I think we're at least end of June, early July.
I'm a June July guy.
Yeah, I think we're at least end of June, early July, at least. And that's
I would agree with that.
And that's if people start taking it seriously.
Yeah, I agree totally. Hey, make sure you find us on Twitter and Instagram, The Monty Show, MONTY, The Monty Show. If you're listening to this on Periscope or wherever you are, don't forget, you can find our podcast anywhere you get podcasts. Spotify, radio.com, iHeartRadio app, iTunes, Google Play. It's always free. It's always available. Depending on, you know, what nights Jake's girlfriend sleeps over, we do the show just about 3-4 times a week. Okay, no comment there. Anyway, the point is, we do the show 3-4 days a week right now. Usually we're a 5-day-a-week program, so you can always hear our archives. No matter where you get your podcast, search The Monty Show. MONTY, The Monty Show. Say goodbye, Amelia.
Goodbye, Amelia.